hour two of After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Logan Weber here with you. Julio Sanchez is behind the board producing tonight's program. If you want to chime in, our number 913-586-7965. Again, that's 913-586-7965. You can give us a call or send us a message in the text line. We got an 816 saying, after DeMar lost to Flacco last year, I think the comeback player award is bogus. And yeah, I mean, DeMar Hamlin was probably even more deserving of the honor last year after coming back, the immediacy of coming back after that terrifying situation. And then you've got a 40-year-old Joe Flacco who was just out of the league there for a little while because he didn't play that well towards the end of his career.
He's old.
Yeah, and he gets a chance to come back, and it's like, that's a comeback player of the year. Eric Berry winning comeback player of the year after dealing with lymphoma. Like, that is a comeback player of the year.
I feel like comeback player of the year should be somewhat inspirational, right?
Right.
Not just, hey, you're old, you got dropped out of the league, and then you came back and had...
Yeah, I mean, Peyton Manning winning comeback player of the year after having serious neck surgery, coming back and leading the Denver Broncos to a Super Bowl at nearly 40. That is a comeback player of the year sort of award. But I digress. You got a 785. It says, if you think the votes were in before the postseason, do you think that Brock has a higher chance of winning Rookie of the Year?
That's kind of like MVP. Like, it's going to, unfortunately, it's kind of a QB.
Right. It's a
type of award, you know, unfortunately.
That's just the name of the game, right? I mean, the MVP award is a quarterback-driven award. Offensive player of the year is reserved for people outside of the quarterback position. There isn't really anything like that for rookie of the year. It's a quarterback-driven league. Because of that, the awards are going to be quarterback-driven. I think that Brock Bowers should have more consideration, considering what he did
seriously
this year.
More consideration.
I mean, he was unbelievable. Set the NFL rookie record for receptions by a tight end. He was top 10 in the NFL in receptions and yards. That's not just tight ends. That's everybody as a rookie, which is really, it's extraordinary, especially considering you saw a guy in Sam Laporta set a bunch of those records last year. And then here comes Brock Bowers a year later, who absolutely just runs roughshod over all of those honors. So yeah, I think that he should have a higher chance to maybe win the award. But
with quarterbacks like Aiden McConnell throwing him the ball.
Right, yeah, Aiden McConnell and Gardner Minshew and, you know, all those sorts of things. But unfortunately, it's a quarterback award, and what Jaden Daniels did during the regular season was already remarkable in and of itself, and then you see what he's done in the postseason, makes it even more special, in a sense. But we're talking NFL honors here on the program tonight because they announced the awards, the finalists for the awards earlier today. We already went through offensive and defensive rookie of the year. We went through comeback player of the year. Let's go down to the Associated Press's assistant coach of the year. And if you were expecting to see Steve Spagnuolo or Matt Nagy's name on this list, you are sorely misinformed.
Of course not.
Neither one of those guys on the list. Matt Nagy, okay. Steve Spagnuolo, I think there's a bit of a gripe to be had there, but you're looking at five guys on this list that have been or have already interviewed for head coaching jobs or may have already accepted head coaching jobs. Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, who of course just took the job earlier this week with the Chicago Bears. Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator for the Lions, who just took the head coaching job of the New York Jets, where he played a big bulk of his career when he was a player. You've got Brian Flores, the DC for the Minnesota Vikings, after all they lost last year, including kind of their biggest, you know, one of their big vocal leaders in Danielle Hunter, who went to Houston and had a great year. He still put together a top 10 unit in the league. He had a really special season, so he's deserving of an opportunity. Vic Fangio.
Really know why he's on this list. I mean, they're so talented across at every level. I mean,
they are, but you could see, I mean, from my perspective, what Fangio did helping the unit get better as the year progressed. I mean, you saw how much better month after month after month that unit was, right? With Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, two young rookies that you bring in. He didn't just throw them in there week one and say, hey, figure it out from day one, opening snap of the season. You got to figure it out, right? He eased them into the system when things really weren't working all that well. They weren't playing great at the beginning of the year defensively, but he stuck with it and he gave those guys more reps and more reps and more reps, continue to allow them to be comfortable comfortable as they integrated into the system, and it benefited them in the long run, and that's why they're back in an NFC championship game.
Still not selling me.
I understand. And then you've got Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. And that's maybe the one that I have the biggest gripe with.
Really?
I mean, why?
I mean
what did he do exactly?
I mean, he did solidify the Bills. I'm with you that I don't know that he should necessarily be on this list when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen at the helm. I mean, how difficult can it be? But he did solidify they were a little inconsistent, the last few years on offense. I think he's solidified the run game. He's kind of incorporated that into their scheme, and he really has changed their offense. And I mean, I'm making excuses for him, but he probably shouldn't be on this list. Let's be honest.
He's the one of the five. He's the one that I have the biggest. I scratch my head at the most because, I understand that Sean McDermott is a defensive minded guy. So Joe Brady is calling the plays, right? That's when you look at a guy like a Matt Nagy or Eric Bieniemy for all those years in Kansas City. I was like, why is this guy not winning coordinator or assistant coach of the year honors? Well, because Andy's calling the plays and he's the biggest key. He's the biggest cog in the machine that was the Chiefs offense and their play calling. Joe Brady at least calls his own plays, right? I'll give him that level of credit. But I look at the numbers for this Bills team year over year. They're not all that different than they've been in years past. It's not like they're wowing teams and putting up 35, 36, 37 points a game week after week after week after week. He benefits from an outstanding all-world talent at quarterback in Josh Allen, who is, second to only Patrick Mahomes in this league. I just look at it like if
terrible
there was
division.
One guy in a really bad division, especially with all the injuries that, Miami looked to be their biggest threat. And then Tua Tagovailoa misses a bunch of time because of yet another concussion. And Tyreek Hill misses some time. Jalen Waddle misses time. Devon Achan misses some time. The defense got banged up at certain point. I just felt like I can't quite see of the five guys on that list. If you were going to make an argument for pulling one of those guys off of there, my argument would be Joe Brady of the Buffalo Bills. That's just where I stand on it. Overall, I think that it's going to be one of those two guys from Detroit that ends up winning this award.
Really? I would think Brian Flores over Aaron Glenn.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you on that sentiment. I just think there's a lot to be said about like where Detroit was 2 years ago and where they are now. And Dan Campbell is getting a ton of credit for that, and rightfully so. I think that what Ben Johnson has done with the offense...
Ben Johnson's going to run away with this, right?
I imagine...
That's the popular vote.
Right? I would imagine, especially because these awards are voted in prior to the postseason starting, so nobody can look at what Ben Johnson did in that divisional round game against the Commanders and be like, yeah, he called a bad game. Like, he got out-coached for four quarters in that one. So I agree. I think Ben Johnson wins the award. I would say Flores or Glenn, sort of flip-flop however you see it, finishing second and or third for that award, and then Fangio and Brady finish somewhere down there. But two of these guys are already going to be NFL head coaches next year. I think that it would surprise me if there was not at least one more of these guys that ends up being a head coach at in the NFL level a season from now. And that's the nature of the beast, right? That's how it goes. You win games, teams are going to come looking for your assistant coaches. They're going to come looking for your executives. There are four members of the Kansas City Chiefs organization from 5 years ago, four who are now general managers of some team in the National Football League, right? You've got Ballard with the Colts. You've got Ryan Poles with the Bears. Of course, you've got Brett Veach with the Kansas City Chiefs staying pat here in Kansas City. And then you just saw the assistant general manager, Mike Borgonzi, take the job with the Tennessee Titans. That's what winning will do, right? Teams will gravitate towards your assistants or underlings isn't the right word, but they gravitate towards those guys because they want to be a part of a winning mentality and they want to bring in a guy who's been a part of a winning culture. Nature of the beast, assistant coach of the year. Yeah, that guy's probably going to get a head coaching job sooner rather than later. Speaking of head coaching jobs, you've got the AP Coach of the Year award honors. Five finalists: Dan Campbell, head coach of the Detroit Lions; Kevin O'Connell, head coach with the Minnesota Vikings; Sean Payton with the Denver Broncos; Dan Quinn of the Washington Commanders; and Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. it didn't occur to me. I feel like I hear this stat, this notion, this fact every year, and it sinks in for a while, and then I forget about it, and then it gets brought back up again the next. Andy Reid has only won Coach of the Year once.
It's baffling. That's mind-boggling.
It's like that. I mean, that's like Nolan Ryan never winning a Cy Young. Yeah. That's baffling levels of incompetency when it comes to the AP Coach of the Year awards. But I don't think that he'll win it this year either.
No. He's probably, quite honestly, fourth or fifth on the list.
Yes. I would say he probably gets the fifth, fifth fewest votes of any guy on this list, which is unfortunate because he's put together another masterclass of a season in coaching. But Dan Campbell and what he's done in Detroit, it's almost incomparable to anything else we've ever seen in the National Football League. Now, the last 2 years, he has sort of developed a reputation as a guy who maybe can't get it done in big moments. That was the moniker surrounding Andy Reid for all those years until he showed up in Kansas City and drafted Patrick Mahomes, and then that flipped on its head. But taking a team that, you know, was a perennial 4-3-2-win team, right? They were the team back 15 years ago that went 0-16 to where they are now as a true contender in the National Football League cannot be understated. Kevin O'Connell and what he's done. You lose Kirk Cousins, right? You let him walk in free agency. He goes to Minnesota, signs the massive deal, and you're like, okay, what's Minnesota going to do? You draft J.J. McCarthy as the heir apparent. He goes down with the injury, and you're like, all right, it's Sam Darnold or nothing here, folks. We got to roll with the guy that we brought in, and he coached Sam Darnold to a Pro Bowl caliber season.
He did something with Sam Darnold that no one else in the league has been able to do with him.
He did an exceptional job with Sam Darnold and his development and putting him in positions to be successful. Now, again, similarly to what happened to Dan Campbell and the Lions, late in the year, O'Connell, Darnold, and the Vikings kind of faltered. They faltered in Week 18 against Detroit, and then they faltered in the wild card game against the Los Angeles Rams. Then you've got a pair of coaches who took on organizations with rookie quarterbacks.
That's where I'm at. Yeah.
And put them in positions to be extremely successful. You've got Sean Payton. You take Bo Nix in the first round, which I know that I'm not the only person, but I laughed. Yeah. I mean, audibly laughed when the Broncos took Bo Nix. I'm like, there's no way you reached that high in the draft to take a guy in Bo Nix who is a dude. Bo Nix played against Joe Burrow in college.
That's how old Bo Nix is. That's craziness.
Bo Nix and Joe Burrow played head to head in college when he was a freshman in Oregon. He's in Auburn. But it's like that's unreal. That is an unreal statistic. And Sean Payton proved us all wrong. Absolutely proved us all wrong. And Sean Payton is deserving of being in this conversation for Coach of the Year, especially after last year and the turmoil surrounding Russell Wilson and all of the things. And it's not like they led the league in sacks this year, and they didn't have a guy that you're like, oh yeah, they got a 16, 17 to 20, you know, sack a year guy. They didn't have a Chris Jones or a TJ Watt or a Khalil Mack or any of those guys. They didn't have a Micah Parsons.
While they didn't have a big name guy, the defense as a whole, though, and I mean, coming
talented
into this year, I think a lot of people knew that they were legit. Right?
Yes. In the back seven for sure with Sertan, right, and then, you know, all that, and then you bring in this group of guys that just did it by committee and broke a franchise record for sacks in a season, and then Dan Quinn, Washington Commanders.
I think he's deserving, man. What he's done with that organization, with what little they had, I mean, he has flipped the script on that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, first year as head coach. It's his first year as head coach there with a first-year offensive coordinator, a first-year defensive coordinator, a first-year general manager, a whole new crop of players, including a rookie starting quarterback in Jaden Daniels. And what did you do? You won 12 games.
And an entirely new organization, essentially.
Yeah, with new ownership, right? Nine.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And you took them to a 12-win regular season, and now you've got them a game away from the Super Bowl. But again, if this was an award that was voted on earlier this week after that Lions win, then Dan Quinn's probably the coach of the year running away with it. But because these honors are voted on at the end of the regular season, I think that this award likely goes to either Kevin O'Connell or Dan Campbell.
See, and I don't. For me, the problem with Dan Campbell is they did what they were supposed to do.
Right.
Like, had this had been last year, yes, 100%, right? They snuck up on people. But coming into this year, right, they were supposed to be where they ended up at the end of the year. So I don't understand how he could be coach of the year for doing what he was supposed, what was expected of him.
And I think another knock against him, whether you agree or disagree with
you
it.
Got talent across the board, man.
Right. Whether you agree or disagree with why this is a knock against him, it probably doesn't help Dan Campbell's case for AP Coach of the Year when your two coordinators are up for Assistant Coach
right,
of the Year.
Exactly.
Right? When your OC and your DC are both candidates and some of the favorites for Assistant Coach of the Year in this league, and they've both been hired as head coaches with other organizations in the NFL, probably doesn't help your chances.
Let's see how they look next year, because I'm betting they're going to take a pretty decent step back.
Right. I would tend to agree on that sentiment. And that's what kind of leads me to believe that Kevin O'Connell may end up being the AP Coach of the Year this year in the NFL. Finally, we've got the MVP award to be dealt out, or defensive, offensive, and MVP. We'll talk about that when we come back. 913-586-7965 is our number. Got an 816 says, good show tonight, guys. That's from Raj in the Ozarks. Appreciate you, Raj. Appreciate the Ozarks. Of course, that's where I had worked previously before coming back up to Kansas City. Spent 4 years in the Springfield market. So appreciate that one from you, Raj. This is Logan Weber, joined by Julio Sanchez. You're listening to After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh boy, it's getting closer and closer. I mean, those highlights, if they don't get you jacked up, I don't know what will. I've just been sitting at home the last couple of days, just like going on YouTube.
Ready.
Just watching Chiefs highlights. I went back and watched that episode of the franchise from the Super Bowl 2 years ago against the Eagles. It's just like that opening coin toss, right? Where Brandon Graham and the Eagles are they're talking, just yapping there during the coin toss, and just Chris Jones looking at him is like, may God bless you. Dude, I don't know how that doesn't terrify
right?
you
oh
as an opponent.
Gosh.
Like, that's the response. Not like not some jawing back. Nope, just like, may God bless you.
We're in trouble.
Like, hey, let's just tighten the chin straps and line it up. We'll see what happens. I would have waved the white flag right there as soon as that happened. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber joined by Julio Sanchez. We've been talking NFL honors. The Associated Press announced the finalists earlier today for different awards. We've got three more categories to get through. Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and then, of course, the Most Valuable Player, the MVP, in the National Football League. The five finalists for Offensive Player of the Year includes two quarterbacks.
Why do we do this?
Neither of which are Josh Allen.
Yeah,
which I find interesting. Lamar Jackson is a finalist for Offensive Player of the Year.
Why?
Joe Burrow is a finalist for Offensive Player of the Year. Derrick Henry, Ja'Marr Chase, and Saquon Barkley. Not a lot of debate, I think, needs to be had with this one.
Nope.
Saquon Barkley is the Offensive Player 100%. Of the Year. Cut, print, check the gate. We're moving on.
Not even worth a discussion.
Nope. Yep. He's the Offensive Player of the Year. Probably Derrick Henry finishes second, I would say, for that award.
Yep.
Ja'Marr Chase third. I don't feel like Ja'Marr Chase's season is getting talked about quite enough, right? I know the kind of year that Joe Burrow had, and that's been talked about. He's a quarterback. Ja'Marr Chase had a triple crown this year.
Yeah.
Receptions, yards, touchdowns, right? I mean, Cooper Kupp did it a couple of seasons ago and won Offensive Player of the Year going away. But when you've got a guy in Saquon Barkley who surpassed 2,000 and Derrick Henry who nearly hit the 2K mark, it's kind of hard to argue with what those guys have done. So I think that those are your top three. Lamar probably finishes fourth and then Joe Burrow fifth because, yeah, Joe, you had a great year, but you didn't make the playoffs.
Can we just call this category, like, why can't we just say it's a non-quarterback Offensive Player of the Year award and then call the MVP award strictly for quarterbacks.
Right.
Like let's call it what it is. Right?
Yeah, because you got four guys right. at quarterback for MVP, which we'll get to in just a little bit. And then you've got the AP Defensive Player of the Year awards. This is a tough one. It's kind of sporadic, right? You've got some linebackers, you've got some DBs, you've got some DNs. Zach Bond of the Philadelphia Eagles, a linebacker.
Man, what a come up, right? Yeah. Maybe he should be comeback player of the year.
I mean, he's a guy I had never even heard of.
Nope.
Zach Bond.
Special teams player, right?
Yeah. Prior to the start of this season, I had never heard of this man in my entire life. And what does he do this year? The 28 years old, right? Third round pick from Philadelphia. It's his first year in Philly because he was a special teams guy with the Saints, like you said, for so many years. He had a career high of 22 solo tackles. That was his career high going into this season. He had 93 solo tackles this year, 151 total tackles in 16 games. He forced 5 fumbles. He had 3.5 sacks, had a pick. He just seemingly out of nowhere had a great year in his fifth year in the National Football League. So he's one of the finalists. You got Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns. He's a finalist once again. Trey Hendrickson of the Cincinnati Bengals, who he led the NFL in sacks this year. He had a remarkable season. Had a remarkable season, right? The knock against him is going to be he didn't make the playoffs. Sort of a similar situation with Myles Garrett. Pat Surtain of the Denver Broncos. He's one of the 5 finalists. And then you've got TJ Watt of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't know that TJ Watt necessarily deserves to be on this list, does he? I mean, by namesake, yes.
He's got the best odds as of right now.
That kills me inside. It kills me inside.
Yeah. I mean, he frankly has the best chance to win it as of right now. I am partial a little bit to what Pat Surtain did this year. I think that it is, I mean, you can only fit 5 guys on the list, so be it. But I think that it's insanity that Derek Stingley's not on this list.
Agreed.
I mean, if you're going to put Surtain on a list, Derek Stingley needs to be on that list as well. Because I think Derek Stingley had a better year than Pat Surtain did.
I would agree as well.
The numbers back it up, at least. So, I don't know. I'm a little bit shocked to see Derek Stingley not on this list. But if I had to pick somebody that I thought should be the defensive player of the year, I would say Pat Surtain. Or I would say Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, I was going to go with Trey Hendrickson. I mean, the knock that they didn't make the playoffs... okay, but man, he was unstoppable this year. Unblockable.
Absolutely unreal for a Bengals team that defensively...
They better pay that man. Will they?
Will they? Probably not. If history is any indication, the Bengals are known as a
cheap.
Very frugal.
Yeah, I'm going to say cheap because that's what they are, you know?
That's the proper way to put it. They are a super cheap organization, right? They paid Joe Burrow and they paid Ja'Marr Chase. They're not going to pay T. Higgins. He's going to walk. Will they pay Trey Hendrickson? I doubt it. I absolutely doubt that they would pay Trey Hendrickson. That's just my opinion on the matter. But that leads to the culmination, right? The biggest award of the night, the MVP. You got Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. Saquon Barkley with the Eagles. Joe Burrow of the Cincinnati Bengals. Jared Goff with the Lions. And then you got Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Now, if you would have asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have said Josh Allen. But you ask me today, I know that he just beat him head-to-head. Doesn't matter. It's a regular season award. I think Lamar Jackson's going to win his third MVP.
You think so, huh?
I mean, the fact that he was the first team All-Pro nod, I think is a pretty strong indicator of him winning the MVP. That or Saquon Barkley's going to win the MVP. Which
is not
never going to happen.
And if he's not going to win it this year, it's never going to happen.
No.
It's always going to be a QB.
Yeah. I mean, the season that he had, if he plays in that Week 18 game for Philly, he sets the NFL record for rushing yards in a season. And he probably still doesn't win MVP because it's a quarterback-driven award.
Correct.
It's just that's the way it goes. I mean, it's been a very, very long time since a quarterback finished second team All-Pro and won the MVP. That was John Elway in 1987. He was the last one to do it. Now, Steve McNair won the award in 2003, but he was a co-MVP with Peyton Manning, who was the first team All-Pro quarterback. So unless you do a co-award somehow, the history is any indication points to Lamar Jackson winning his second straight MVP and the third in his career.
Yeah, and he probably should. Like you said, the numbers back it up. I mean, as good of a season as Josh Allen had, Lamar, statistically speaking, had a better year.
Yeah, I mean, 41 touchdowns to 4 interceptions is pretty remarkable in and of itself. You know, he puts together 900 yards rushing and 4 rushing touchdowns. He could have had double-digit rushing touchdowns to the level of like what Jalen Hurts accomplished in Philly this year, but when you have Derrick Henry to hand the ball off to, you do that, right? And the Eagles don't. They rely on the tush push and the quarterback draws and all those things rather than giving it to Saquon at the goal line, and it's probably why Jalen Hurts has missed a little bit of time this year with an injury and hasn't looked 100% healthy for the last 6 to 8 weeks of this season. I'm not saying that I agree with Lamar Jackson as the MVP. I think that if there was any year for you to give it to Josh Allen, it would be this year. After everything they lost, all the injuries that they dealt with, him having to put the cape on and have the kind of year he had and put them in a position, once again, of being a game away from the Super Bowl, I think Josh Allen is deserving of the award. But I think if you look at the numbers and you look at the All-Pro voting as an indication, Lamar Jackson, I believe, will win his third MVP.
You realize Lamar Jackson, if he were to win, would be the only 3-time MVP never to have at least been to a Super Bowl.
Oof.
That's hurtful.
That is tough.
That's hurtful.
I mean, he would be on a very, very short list of guys to win 3 MVPs in their career, right? Peyton Manning is the NFL's all-time leader with 5. Rodgers won 4. Brady only won 3 MVPs. Favre won 3, Jim Brown won 3, Johnny Unitas. Those are the only 6 guys.
Solid list, but
to win 3 MVPs in their career, Lamar Jackson would become the 7th guy to do so. And then you've got Mahomes at 2, tied with a few guys, Kurt Warner, Steve Young, and Joe Montana as guys to win multiple MVP awards in their careers. And somehow, some way, we talk, you know, Josh Allen, I think, is the biggest rival to Patrick Mahomes. He is the second best quarterback in football. Yeah. Somehow, we could live in a world where Lamar Jackson has 3 MVPs, Patrick Mahomes has 2, Josh Allen and Joe Burrow have a combined 0. And that would also be a world, and I'm not trying to speak it into existence, folks. I'm just trying to throw a hypothetical out there. Lamar Jackson could have 3 MVPs without getting to a Super Bowl. And Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, if the Bills beat the Chiefs on Sunday, would have 2 Super Bowl appearances between the two of them and no MVPs. You want to talk about football being a team sport?
Crazy upside down world we live in, man.
Football is a team sport, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a break. You're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. When we come back, I want to take a look at our text line a little bit. Our number, 913-586-7965. Send us a few comments, questions, concerns that you have here on tonight's show. We'll be sure to read them aloud and respond to them as we go along. This is After Hours with Logan Weber and Julio Sanchez on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
A little late at night, but Mr. Brightside gets you fired up, no matter what time of day
always
it is.
Does.
Man, the Killers bring it out of you, no doubt about it. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber joined by Julio Sanchez, and taking a look at our text line here briefly, 913-586-7965. I got a 402 that says Spags got hosed. Yeah, a little bit. I would tend to agree. I think Steve Spagnuolo put on another masterclass of a season. Has Steve Spagnuolo ever won Assistant Coach of the Year in his career?
That's a good question.
And could very well at the end of this season win his fourth or fifth Super Bowl
fourth,
as a defensive coordinator in the National Football League. I mean, that's other world. This would be his fifth, because he won one in 07 as the defensive coordinator of the Giants and then has been at the D.C. for all three Super Bowls in Kansas City. He's the only coordinator, defensive coordinator in NFL history to win four Super Bowls.
He's going to be the Hall of Fame, right?
He should be.
If he wins this, he's got to be, right?
He absolutely should be, but he's somehow never been an assistant coach of the year, which, again, is an absolute travesty. So that's one message we got. We got another one here from a 913. It says, would Andy Reid be as successful with any other quarterback? Not. Okay. See, this is what we're not going to do.
Thank you.
Would he be as successful? Okay, if this, the level of success we're seeing is the three Super Bowls in 5 years, no. No, Patrick Mahomes has brought him to that level. But we're not going to sit here and pretend that Andy Reid was not a successful head coach. Okay, he had many, many great seasons when he was in Philly. All right, he went 130-93 in his years in Philadelphia. And that includes a 5-11 season his first year in 99 and a 4-12 season in his last year in 2012 after McNabb and you know, McNabb and Vic and all those, you know, the Brian Westbrook and their big name guys had kind of gone by the wayside. But I mean, let's
put it this way. Belichick, who is known as probably the best coach of all time, would not be the same without Brady.
Yeah, didn't win anything without Tom Brady. Here? So to say that you know, Andy Reid is not as wouldn't be this successful is somewhat true. I would say, in a sense, would he have three Super Bowls if he didn't have Mahomes? Maybe not. Probably not. That's just how good Mahomes is. But we're not going to sit here and pretend that Andy Reid's not still a remarkably talented head coach. I mean, he took Philadelphia to a Super Bowl. He won 11 games and took his team, you know, to the playoffs in 2009 after you lose McNabb and you roll with Michael Vick in the back half of his career after everything he had to contend with. And then he shows up in Kansas City after they had an awful year. After they went, I think
people were wearing bags on their heads.
Yeah, we went 2-14 that year. We had the number one overall pick
over the stadium.
We're taking Eric Fisher, number one overall. Andy Reid gets brought in and gets Alex Smith, who many thought his career was done. And what did they win 11 games? He has not had a losing season as a head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. And he only had three losing seasons in his entire tenure as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's not sit here and act like, oh, Andy Reid is the... Yeah, okay. All right. Got a 317 that says, if Mahomes was on the Andy Reid Eagles, would they have the same success? The same success as what the Chiefs are seeing right now? That's an interesting conversation. I don't think the offense was as talented as the Chiefs' offenses have been outside of last season in the Mahomes era, but the defenses were remarkable with those Philadelphia Eagles teams during that era. So, I mean, who's to say, right? I mean, it seems like Patrick Mahomes' floor is getting to a conference championship game. So, yeah, they probably would have been more successful if Patrick Mahomes would have been on those Eagles teams. No question about it. Patrick Mahomes has taken Andy Reid's legacy to another level. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Andy Reid was just some sort of ho-hum or he was a pretty good coach before he got Patrick Mahomes. He was a remarkable head coach. He was one of the five best coaches in the league prior to having Patrick Mahomes. But Patrick Mahomes took him from a very good head coach to a first ballot Hall of Fame head coach that is mentioned in the same sentence as Shula and Halas and Belichick and Walsh, and the list goes on and on, right? That is the trajectory. But to sit here and say that Andy Reid wasn't a great head coach before Mahomes, not that you did say that. I was just sort of, you know, taking it as what I read. I don't know. I feel like we can appreciate Mahomes and what he's done and the level of play that he has brought to Kansas City in Andy Reid's tenure without trying to say, oh, Andy Reid wasn't that good before Mahomes showed up, because he was still pretty damn good. We got a little bit of time left here in tonight's program. When we come back, I want to have a conversation about how the NFL and the media continues to just give Mahomes and the Chiefs fodder. Like, why do we continue to do this? Why continue to give them bulletin board material? It's not going to work out in your favor. And we had one guy in the national media today say something profoundly stupid that the Chiefs have already caught wind of. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
If there's one thing you need to learn, if you've ever seen the Last Dance documentary surrounding Michael Jordan and the 90s Bulls, you didn't give Michael Jordan fodder. You didn't give him things that gave him an added attitude and advantage and desire when it came to the game of basketball. Patrick Mahomes has that same level of aura within the game of football. And for some reason, people just continue to give him reasons to put that chip back on his shoulder and want to win even more than he already does. That's what happened today on FS1 Breakfast Ball. If you're not familiar with the show, it runs from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern. So 7 to 9 Central, the show runs.
I know who you're going to talk about here.
It's hosted by a trio of guys. You've got Danny Parkins, who's a Chicago area guy. I really enjoy
former
him.
Former 6'10 guy.
Yes,
by the way.
Former 6'10 guy. Really enjoy Danny. And, you know, him and Nick have a really tight relationship. The other two guys, you've got Mark Schlereth, who is a Super Bowl winning offensive lineman for both the Washington Redskins in that era. And then, of course, the Denver Broncos. Yeah. So he's got a disdain and a hatred for the Chiefs. Okay, I can respect that. As a guy who played in Denver and hated playing the Kansas City Chiefs, he talks all the time about how Arrowhead is the most raucous environment in football. Okay. Dude, Craig Carton.
He drives me nuts.
What are you doing, man?
He drives me freaking nuts.
Sitting on the show this morning, they're talking about, will Josh Allen have the biggest wow moment this weekend in the NFL? And Carton, you know, he's a New York guy. He's a gigantic Jets fan, but he also actively roots for the Buffalo Bills because they're in New York and blah, 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 blah. Craig Carton this week, or as a Chiefs fan, what is the thing that has irritated you most in terms of fan, like an opposing fan base or group, a team talking trash about Kansas City? For me, it's the Cincinnati Bengals and Eli Apple and the whole Burrowhead thing. Well, Craig Carton has started up a different one, referring to Arrowhead today as Allenhead. What are you doing?
Here we go.
What are you doing? And then people are taking to social media. They're grabbing those clips. And you can see, like, on certain things like stories and whatnot through Twitter and Instagram or whatever, like, who's looking at those stories. I saw Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown and Chris Jones and George Karloftis and lots of Chiefs saw that on social media today. Personally, I'm a fan. Go ahead. Keep doing it. Some of it, I think, is the media doing it on purpose to try to give Mahomes and the Chiefs more, you know, to get behind, more bulletin board-esque material. I'm all for it. Continue to throw it this way. Continue to throw the shade. Don't put Mahomes in the Pro Bowl. Don't make Trent McDuffie an All-Pro or a Pro Bowler. Don't make Trey Smith an All-Pro. Continue. Don't make Steve Spagnuolo an Assistant Coach of the Year finalist. Just continue to throw it our way, folks. Absolutely. Continue to give Mahomes and company more of a reason to want to win this game against Buffalo. Good Lord. I mean, Craig Carton, I don't know what you're doing, man. And personally, if you're watching the Breakfast Ball every morning on FS1, find something else to do. Come on over here to 96.5 The Fan. Turn on Fesco and Dusty every morning.
Show. It's a terrible show.
What's
I'm sorry, Danny. I'm sorry, Danny.
Yeah, it's sorry, Danny. Show. Danny's got to get out. Danny needs different co-hosts. But in the meantime, until Danny can get that figured out, come over and listen to Fesco and Dusty in the morning. You'll have a much better time. It'll be a much easier, much more enjoyable listen than what those guys have going on in the morning on FS1. All right. That'll do it. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan for our producer, Julio Sanchez. I'm Logan Weber. Appreciate you guys joining us. Appreciate you guys sending in messages on the text line. We'll be back again tomorrow night here from 6 to 9. Yours truly hosting After Hours here on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. The Queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.